We're going to pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our God, the one who brings all things to our remembrance, Father. Father, we thank you that you open eyes as we see, our ears to hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's turn to the book of Romans. I start there in Romans and I read the first couple of verses in Romans. And then we'll go, and we're going to move fast. I always say that, and we end up doing giving two things out of my notes. So we're going to go a little bit faster tonight. Romans chapter 8, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so what it is, again, we always talk about this kingdom, this spiritual kingdom that we're in. So we have to realize, we have to think and understand that this kingdom that we're in is not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. In Galatians, when the Apostle Paul began to talk to the Galatians, and one of the things he asked them, who had bewitched them? He asked them, did you receive the Spirit by hearing of the law, or by the hearing of faith? By doing the law, by the hearing of faith. And we understand that we receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. That scripture in Romans 10:8-10 says that, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our hearts, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, and we shall be saved." And once we do that, then we become these new creations. It says, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So we are talking about a spiritual kingdom, and there's a certain way we who are in this spiritual kingdom should walk. It says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so we are still back. We're doing those two covenants. And the reason that we have so many problems in the body of Christ, because we're trying to operate in those two covenants. And so once we get an understanding of what's happening, then we can do better. In Romans 8, Paul talks about two laws. He talks about the law of sin, and and the law of life in Christ Jesus, and declares that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. That's a law of relationship with the rules. But that is not the relationship or the reality for most people. Most people have a relationship with the rules, and thus their behavior is motivated by fear of punishment rather than by love. The Apostle Paul explains that God's law is good in that it revealed the power of sin in his life. If you read through Romans chapter 7, we see how the law itself revealed the power of sin in his life. But then when he got to the end of it, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Who should do this?" And then he said in verse 25, he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And so that's in Romans 8:24-25. And he explained and his need for redemption, because of, like I say, there was no way that he could follow the law perfectly, even though you say he did. He followed the law blameless, but he still had need for that redemption. We have need for that redemption because we could not follow the law perfectly. That was the purpose of the old covenant. But the law itself could not bring about that salvation. Only in Christ's death can we die to sin. And remember our meditation scripture, that you're crucified with Christ Jesus, nevertheless you live not live in the flesh. This life that we live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. So it's only through his death can we be delivered and be free to live according to a different law. Also, Paul calls us to reckon or consider the evidence and make a judgment. God's verdict over every believer is that we are dead to sin in Christ Jesus. We're dead to sin in Christ Jesus. And since we are dead to sin in Christ, we have been delivered from a life of protecting a connection with the rules. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation, which means punishment. There is no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus means we are those who walk according to the Spirit and are not according to the flesh. Our experience of life without condemnations happen according to how we walk. It happens according to how we walk. We walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. So we are in the Spirit. And so turn to Galatians chapter 5. Again, just some of this is by review and we're covered, but we always need to see scriptures back up what we're making when we make statements about certain things. In Galatians chapter 5, looking at verse 16. We'll read 5 and 14. 5 and 14 say, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, verse 15 say, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the only way we can walk in the Spirit is that we be led of the Spirit. We have to do Romans 8, 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Any other way, then we're not going to be able to walk in the Spirit the way God wants us to do, and we should be doing it. So we have to know that Jesus was our example. We know that when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of dove lit up on him. He was filled with the Spirit, and he also was led of the Spirit. It say in Luke, it say he was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then when he came back out of that wilderness, he said he was full of the Spirit. So that means if he was full of the Spirit, that means he could walk the way God wanted him to do. And then we could walk around and do those supernatural, only way we're going to be able to do those supernatural acts, we're going to have to be full of the Spirit of God. We're going to have to be full of the Spirit of God in order to carry out God's plan and purposes here in the earth realm. As the Spirit of God was, Jesus was, we were studying, and one of the things that the Spirit of God revealed to me, even Jesus was telling us about how we should keep those commandments. Remember in Luke 24:49, one of the things that Jesus told his disciples, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. In 49, Luke 24:49, it says, and behold, he said, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So he was telling them there, don't leave here until you receive that which you cannot operate in this kingdom until you receive this power from on high. Verse 50 says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and was continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and here at Acts chapter 1, I begin to read at verse 1 and we'll read down through verse 8. It says, "The former treaties I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he gave commandments to his apostles, and those commandments was, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father that I'm going to send to you. It was not a request. It was a commandment. He went on to say, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them," that is again, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, "You have heard of me." And then verse 5 says, "For John truly baptized with water." So there's we understand that there's a subsequent baptism. While John was here, he was baptizing individuals into the kingdom through water, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And so he had commanded them not to leave, and he told them what was going to happen once it came to them. He went on to say, "And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And so what they was thinking about was a physical kingdom. He was not talking about a spiritual kingdom that he was going to restore to the kingdom of Israel. He was talking about a spiritual kingdom. And so that's what he wanted his disciples to see. And verse 7 says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power." He said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Witness means that the things that he did, I can do the same thing because I know I saw him do that. And so because he did that, he healed blind eyes. He brought sight, hearing to the ears. The lame got up and walked. The dead was brought back to life. The enemy oppression was taken off of people. He walked in his ministry while he was on earth. And he was saying that we could do the same thing. That's why when he got over into, he could make those statements over in John 14. Let's turn over there and look at what he says over here in John chapter 13. We'll read in 14, John 14. He said, this one, Philip came to him. He said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices." John 14, 8. And he said, "Show us the Father, and it suffices it." See, what Jesus was here, when he was here on earth, he was representing the Father. He wanted to manifest the Father. He wanted the people to see actually who the Father was while he was on earth. This is the character of the Father. And so since this is the character of the Father, I represented him while he was on the earth. If we're going to represent Jesus, this is the character of Jesus. When we walk around, when we walk out there, we should have that same character. And people say, "Show us Jesus." And when people see you, they should be able to see Jesus in you and through you. And that's the way we should be walking. The same way he walked, while he was here. We should be, he was walking only in what the Father. He said, I only do I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And so we should be doing the same as Christian, as believers, as members of the body of Christ. We should be walking around doing the exact same thing that Jesus did when he was here on the earth. He goes on to say, and Jesus said unto them, he said, have I been so long with you? And yet thou have not known me, Philip. He that has seen me, has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. He goes on to say, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. He was telling us then, and remember when he said he left, he went and he sat on the right hand of the Father. And when he went up and sat on the right hand of the Father, he sent the promise of the Father back to us so we could operate. He was telling us here, you can do the same thing I do once the Holy Spirit comes. He's going to give you that power to operate in this spiritual kingdom. We can't do it in the natural. We can't do it in the flesh. But just like Jesus did it, we're going to be able to do it like he did it when he was here. He said in verse 13, he said, and whatsoever you should ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And verse 15 says, watch what he says here. He said, if you love me, he said, you're going to keep my commandments. He said, you're going to keep my commandments. But when he said that, watch the next verse, what he says. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. He was talking about, you remember, he commanded them not to leave. He said, now what's going to happen? He said, I'm going to give you another comforter. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. You're going to, if you love me, you're going to keep this commandment that I give to you. It's not a request. It is a commandment that we be filled with the Holy Ghost, with that evidence like the apostles did, in order for us to operate. If we don't have filled with the Holy Ghost, we're not going to be able to be a witness for Jesus while we are here on earth. So we have to be constantly, we have to walk in the Spirit, we have to be full of the Spirit, and then we can do the works that that's the only way we're going to be able to do those works that Jesus did. He said, and verse 15 say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he said, and I will pray the Father, and he should give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom you, the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, once they stay there, and he was talking to his apostles, but he was also talking to the body of Christ. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to send you another comforter. He's going to be with you. He's going to show you how to operate in this spiritual kingdom. He's the executor in this spiritual kingdom. And so he's the one who's going to be able to show you how to do that. And so again, there we go back to that scripture, Romans 8:14, that says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So we're going to have to be in tune. We're going to have to be able to hear. We're going to have to be able to perceive what the Spirit of God is saying to us so we can operate, so we can do it. If we're not hearing the Word of God, and it says that, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So we should be hearing the voice of God, but we have to spend time with him. We have to be intimate with him in order to be able to, when his voice comes, we can discern whose voice it is. And that is not a voice of a stranger, but it's the voice of the Almighty God. He said, I will not leave you comforted. Verse 18, he said, I'll not leave you comforted. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you shall see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And then verse 21, he says it again. Watch what he says. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, do not leave Jerusalem. What a request. Again, do not leave Jerusalem. He said, I commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. He says, and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Judas, said unto him, not Iscariot. Lord, he said, this is not Judas Iscariot. This is other Judas. He said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? And he said, not unto the world. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he says, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we'll come unto him and make our abodes with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And here he says it again. He lets you know, you're keeping my commandments. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so now we can begin to see the scripture. The only way we're going to be able to operate in this, we're going to have to be full of the Spirit of God. The only way we can say God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind, is because the Holy Spirit is in us, and he letting us know. Every time the enemy comes at us with a bad report, something of the world, the Holy Spirit is going to bring things to our remembrance, what the Word of God, what Jesus have said to us in the Word of God. The Word became flesh. John 1 said it became flesh and dwelled among us. And so that's what the apostle is telling us. When we speak the Word itself becomes flesh. And then we can speak forth God's Word as Jesus spoke it. But we have to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of power, that we can bring forth that Word. Remember when God said he was going to set up that new covenant? It was in Hebrews 10 to Jeremiah 33. And like I said, we're trying to break this, let you see this covenant, give you as much information as you can about this covenant that we are in, that so we can not stray when something come up, we can't stray from this covenant. In Jeremiah 33, looking at verse 1, this is the prophet Jeremiah, and he began to prophesy. He says in 31, he says that, yes, 31. He says, behold, the day is cometh, saith the Lord. He said that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hands to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was their husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. He said, I will put my law in their inward parts. That means I'll put it in their spirit. They'll come on the inside of us, and he'll dwell with us, and he'll live with us. And so now we can go back and we can see why the Apostle Paul began to pray that prayer in Ephesians 3, you know, that I be strengthened in my inner man. So in order for us to do it, we have to be strong in the inner man with the Spirit of God. We just can't do this thing in our natural. We've been trained in the natural, and we grew up in the natural, but once we came into the kingdom, and that's what, again, Ephesians 4:11 say, these fivefold ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, they are to perfect the saints, mature the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, until we all come into the full stature of which Christ Jesus walked this earth. And so yesterday, as our apostle was ministering, he said Jesus was a blueprint. And so we are walking in his shoes. And if you're walking in his shoes, then what he did while he was here on earth, we should do the exact same thing. And so in order for the kingdom to be advanced, the kingdom to be edified, he said, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. So we have to build this body up, and he left it in our charge. He left it for us. And so when we came, when we got born again, when we got saved, we could have went on and if, you know, once we got saved, the whole purpose that we most of us think is that we're going to see good days in the by and by. And so now, you know, I want to go to heaven. But then if that was the case, once we got saved, we could have went on to heaven and left this earth and went, you know, went to spend eternity with the Father. But he left us back here for a reason, and that's to bring other people in the kingdom, to tell other people what we received, the goodness of God that was here on the earth. And so that's why he brought, that's why he left us here, so we could do that. He left a commission. We call it the Great Commission in Mark 16. Verse 15 through 18, he told him to go into all the world and make disciples out of all nations. And so that means that somebody has to do it. And he wasn't just talking about the apostles. You know, the apostles couldn't do it, but he was talking about the body of Christ. He was talking the same thing in Matthew 28. He said the same thing. And he's saying, I will be with you. He said, even until the end of the world. I'm paraphrasing. You know, we can look at the scripture, but I got some other information I need to give you. But he, you know, these are the things that this kingdom of God, that's what we have to do as our spiritual children in the kingdom of God. And so let me read that, and then I go on a little bit further. In Jeremiah 31:33, he said, but this shall be the covenant that will I make the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. He said, I'll put my law in the inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. No condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's go on and look at some more notes. Our experience of life without condemnations happen according to how we walk. Walking in relationship of love, walking through faith and grace, in a relationship with the Spirit, in a relationship with the Spirit, not with the laws, but in a relationship with the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, the question we must constantly ask, how is my life affecting our relationship? How is what I do here on the earth? How is it affecting my relationship? Remember in Galatians 5, we went through and we told you what the lust of the flesh. Am I operating according to the lust of the flesh? Am I operating according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Am I doing Galatians 5, 22 through 23, where I walk in love, the fruits of the Spirit, where I walk in love and walk in joy and have peace and long-suffering toward my fellow man? Am I doing that? And so if he told us what the lust of the flesh was, and then he went on and he told us what the fruit of the Spirit was. So, and if, as long as we are operating in those fruit of the Spirit, he said, against them, there is no law. And so as long as we are operating according to the fruit of the Spirit, then we are walking in the Spirit. He said, keeping the law of life in Christ Jesus mean that I manage myself in order to preserve and protect my connection to his heart. See, that's the way I walk. I want to protect my connection to his heart. It is not about living to protect myself from the punisher when I break the rules. And so most people, they live not according to whether they're going to protect their connection to his heart, but whether I'm going to, if I get caught, whether I'm going to be punished or not. And so that's not to be, it shouldn't be the thing that we are focusing on. You should be focusing on how is this going to affect my connection with his heart? You know, the one who loved me so much that he would die for me and die for all my sins. How am I walking? Am I going to protect that relationship? Many of us believers believe that when Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, or you'll obey my commandment. I showed you that commandment, what he was talking about, being filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, he was talking about love now. He was, you know, that's one of the commandments. But he was basically, in that aspect, and each time he said, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, only way we're going to be able to do this, the Holy Spirit, we're going to, you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to do. Again, when I look at and I read and I see the Spirit of God, everything that happens. And when I went back to Genesis, and I went to Genesis, and, you know, if you want to know how something began, then you can go to the book of Genesis, and it always shows us what happened in the book of Genesis, and it shows how God wanted us to, how he wanted man to live here on the earth. He wanted us to have dominion. We gave that dominion up through our sin fact, through our act of disobedience. But then Jesus Christ came, and he gave that same dominion that Adam had when he was in the garden. God came through Jesus and gave us that same dominion back. But we have to believe and receive it and walk in it. Turn to Genesis. I want to show that. Holy Spirit brought it up, so I want to go back and look at it and just see it. And so that was from the beginning, you know. So this is before anything else happened. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the next scripture says, you know, it was without form, it was without void. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved up on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So if your life is void, we're going to have to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is saying. And then when he give us a word, then we can speak forth those words. The earth was without form, in the beginning, even the whole earth was with form and without void. And God spoke, and the Spirit moved up on that area, that voidness. Some of us have voidness in our lives. Some of us have life situations that have come up. It's not our life, but the life situations that have come up. Because our life says, you know, in John 10:10, say Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Then he also tells us in John 6:63, he said, the flesh part for nothing. He said, but the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So that's the life he's talking about when we're in this kingdom, this spiritual kingdom that we are in. It's in the spirit. It's not in the flesh. We're not going to get anything in the flesh. A natural man, God says in 1 Corinthians, a natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because they are spiritually discerned. So as natural men, everything has to be spiritually discerned and receive it in the spirit. And so once we mature, you know, the Apostle Paul was trying to minister to the Galatians, and he was telling them, you know, you can be an heir, you can be a king sitting on the king, but as long as you're a child, you can't operate in this kingdom. You can't operate in it until you mature, until you know what's available to you, until you learn how to operate in it. And then once you operate in it, and then you can sit on the throne, the king, you can be the kings and priests that we are, and operate in this kingdom the way God set it up for us. Many of us, more pointers here, many of us believe that when Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In John 4:14, he said, it meant if you love me, you'll let me control you. And there's no list of commandments from Jesus. He died to make us free. And again, I showed you that commandment where he said the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to dwell with us. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, endued. I have on a blue suit right now, and this suit is endued with blue. Every fiber in this suit is endued with blue. And so same thing with us. Every fiber of our being should be endued with the Holy Spirit. And that's what he was talking about. When he say endued, don't leave until you be endued. So what he going to do? He's going to come in and he's going to go out through our entire being. Every fiber in our being is going to be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, and then we can walk according to the way this kingdom should be operating. But when you hear this command, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. From the mindset of the law, we hear Jesus saying, if you love me, it's going to show up in how you treat the things that I told you are important to me. You're going to, it is going to show up in how you treat the things that I told you are important to me. Being fulfilled with the Holy Ghost, not leaving Jerusalem, was important to him. And so since it was important to him, if you love me, you're going to keep that commandment. You're going to do that. You're going to love your neighbor as yourself. You're going to do that. He said, you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your spine, all your mind, all your spirit, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two laws hang all the laws and the prophets. So if you in that love life, and so again, we can't operate in that love without the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5 tell us that hope making not ashamed, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so when I was reading that scripture in Matthew, where he tell us that he say, I tell you, you have, you know, he tells what was in the law. But I was listening to Reverend Montrepp minister one night. He said, but you always have to go. Jesus always one up us. And he said, in the law, it said you have to love your enemies. And he said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. And he said, pray for those who despitefully use you. You can't do that. I can't do that in the natural. I know I can't do that, but I need that power, that supernatural power to do that. I need the Holy Spirit in me in order to do that, in order to pray for someone who despitefully used me. I can't do that. I cannot do that in the natural. Jesus could not have went to the cross unless he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so because he had to be, and that's why God told him when he came up out of that water and the Spirit of God left. Turn the loop. Let's look over there and see that. So we can see our example. He was our elder brother, and so he led the example. He showed us the example how we should operate in this kingdom. And so we're going to follow his footsteps, and we're going to do what he do. Then we have to know what happened to him. In Luke chapter, I think it's 2. And it talks about John the Baptist in that area. You know, he was filled with the Holy Ghost even in his mother's womb. So, in Luke chapter 2, I just want to read a couple of those passages of scriptures over there in Luke. In Luke 2, it says that in 2 and 39, it says, and when they had performed all things according to the law of God, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He waxed strong in spirit. So even as a child, he began to wax strong in the spirit. He said, and the wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. In verse 41, it says, now the parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He was filled with the Spirit. This young man, you know, he is a 12-year-old, and he's sitting with the doctors and the philosophers because the Spirit of God was on him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him was astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they was amazed, and his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my father's business? He said, I must be, you know, we must be about our Father's business. You know why he came. But then what happened, like I say, and they understood not the saying which he spoke, spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So what he did, from the time he was 12 to the time he was 30 years old, he had to go and submit to the authority, which was his parents. And he had to be trained. He had to sit there, even though he had wisdom. And they was astonished at the wisdom that he had, but he was not mature enough to operate the way God wanted him to do. And so all of us who are in the kingdom, we have to be trained. We have to submit to someone in authority that they can train us. You know, sometimes we get to the point that we think we know, and there are still other things that we have to learn. It's not because I know a lot of scriptures that I know. It's because I'm mature in the things. I know how to operate the scriptures. I'm not just looking at words on the page anymore. I now know the scriptures. The Apostle Peter says that we are partakers of God's divine nature based on the knowledge that we have, not the words that we have of him, but the knowledge that we have of him. And so once we have that knowledge, that understanding, then we can operate in this kingdom. Again, I say, it's not the scriptures that you know. It's the knowledge that you have of him and what he will do. And so that's what Jesus had to go back, and he had to learn those things. Let's look a little bit further. In Luke chapter 3, and again, beginning at verse 16, Luke 3:13, it says, John answered, saying unto them all, I'll just read through it so you can see it. He said, I indeed baptize you with water. That's what we saw in Acts 1 and 5. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Talking about Jesus, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias' brother, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod was done, added yet this above, that he shut up John in prison. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. And so he said, when he was baptized and heaven, you know, our apostles say we are operating under an open heaven. So when we're operating on an open heaven, the supernatural can come and we can do what God wants us to do. God can do what he wants to do through us. It said, and the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. So before he could even start his ministry, he had to be endowed with that power from on high, because it came out of heaven. It said the heavens was open and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And so that means it talks about, if you go through and you read that, it talks about his natural lineage, and it goes all the way back to Adam, you know, who was the son of God, and it come all the way down. That was a natural man. But then he was letting you know that Jesus, when he walked the earth as a man, full of the Holy Ghost, and following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and doing those signs and those wonders and those miracles. And so that's why he could make that statement. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father. I'm going to send you that other comforter. You say, well, do I have that? Yes, you got it. Turn to First John. Let's look at it and see. And so, like I said, we have to begin to accept the fact what God has provided for us in this kingdom, and know what he's given to us. And see, like, just like Jesus was ministering, and he knew some things, and philosophers and doctors was astonished at his doctrine. Watch what it says here in 1 John 2:20. It says that in 1 John 2:20, it says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, we know we don't know all things, but that anointing that we receive from him, we know some things in our spirit. So it's just like Jesus did. He said, and then look at verse 27. It says, but the anointing which you have received of him abided in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it had taught you, you should abide in him. And so, like I say, again, that's letting you know that once the Holy Spirit come and you begin to allow him to lead you and direct you, there are some things in the kingdom that he's going to show you that nobody else know. And when you give answers to these things, they're going to be astonished at some of the statements that come out of your mouth, some of the things that you tell them to do. But like I say, this does not happen overnight. This happens as a process. And as the process comes, you know, as you learn and you grow and you get to different levels, that's why, because of God, you know, I love this ministry because I've been here since 98 and we've never stood still. We've been moving ever since I've been. It's constantly flowing. And so our apostles say we have to have a continuous revelation from the Spirit of God. So whenever God give us some revelation, we don't just stand there. We don't make monuments of that revelation. We wait and receive the next revelation that God has. So God is always moving. God, you know, so since he's always moving, and that makes this Christian life exciting. You know, it is not a life of dullness and you say what it says, joy in the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God, you know, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we can have joy and you know, they look at you sometimes and say, you know, why are you so excited? You know, they got thunder clouds all around you. But see, I know I have an answer. I know some things. And no matter what the situation is, I'm going to win in that situation because the Spirit of God, you know, he done given me. There's no defeat. You know, we're going to win every time, no matter what happens, no matter what's going on. Yeah, I don't care what kind of sickness they come and give me, the enemy throw at my face, I already know. That he was, because he, you know, in Isaiah 53:4 say he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace was up on him, and with his stripes I'm healed. That's a done deal. That's already done. And so when the enemy come and try to throw that in my face, you know, I'm hearing his voice. I'm not hearing the voice of that stranger. And see, and you know, so and not only am I not hearing the voice of a stranger, I'm not conformed to this world. Romans 12:2. And the apostles, you know, those apostles was throughout the scripture. You can go in and you can see they was ministering, they was telling us, trying to train us in this kingdom, how you operate in this kingdom. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so when we know that, then we can begin to operate accordingly. We don't have to sit and take anything the enemy and try to throw it. We can know that he's already defeated. He's under my feet. And that's why I'm not going to let him rise above that stature. You know, that's his status. As it should always say, eternity from eternity to eternity. That's his status. He's defeated and he's under my feet. And that's what, you know, if he come from under my feet, that's my fault. Because I've led him up from under my feet. I should keep him where he should be. Let me give you a few more notes. He says, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was not given these commandments. Remember in Matthew 5 when he began to give those blessings on the Mount. He was not given this sermon to sinners, but to sons and daughters of the new covenant. See, and so there's no way that sinners could operate the way Jesus was talking about in Matthew. He said, because the kind of behavior he described is impossible for any sinner to hope to exhibit. So even if we operate, trying to operate under the law, we can't operate that. We have to be in the spirit in order to do that. But sons and daughters will have access to an entirely new nature and supernatural grace. We have a new nature, Because once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he said, you are now, you know, he said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's that inner man, that new creation that's on the inside of you. And that supernatural grace, that means the Holy Spirit has come on the inside of me. I got that free gift. Apostle Paul made that awesome statement. He said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And so the only way he could do what he did, God's favor had to be upon him. And he had to have supernatural help in order to operate the way God set it up. So that was God's free gift, God's free grace. He was simply describing how these people would behave. Remember, like I said, I told you I was going to give you a little bit more information tonight. Remember, the old covenant was an external covenant, a system of controls designed to keep sinners in line. But the new covenant is an internal covenant for sons and daughters who, because of their new nature, can be trusted with the responsibility to govern themselves and have access to the power of self-control, which is the Holy Spirit, and the superior power to walk in righteousness. It's not your righteousness, but it's his righteousness that he gave you. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, meditation scripture. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Father. Father God, we've given to your people what you told us to say. We thank you, Father God, that we're no longer just hearers, but we are now become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Yes.